Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Dice, Dishes, and Digital. My name is Edward, and, well, let's get straight into it. This is Dice Episode 2. Episode 2 of this series of going on for creation of homebrew stuff, discussing world creation tips, and so much more about the BX system. And so many other system neutral topics. Now, today's episode is going to be a good one. Today we are creating a homebrew class for Dungeons & Dragons Basic Expert. Now, those of you may be wondering, what class are we creating? What are we going to be doing with this class? Well, this is a class that I'm taking from 5th edition. This class is going to be the Warlock class. Yeah, the Warlock class. Now, those of you may be a little confused, like, why would you want to bring the Warlock class into the Dungeons & Dragons Basic? Well, I like the Warlock class. I like the Warlock class because it offers a lot of roleplay opportunities when it comes to the actual standards of what the Warlock class entails. A pact with an entity, you give up something, you gain abilities, and the like. Now, there is so many different Warlock classes out there that people have created, have put ideas out, and the like. Here, I'm taking my spin on it. Now, to keep things all copacetic, we're going to use the basic book. We're not going to jump into expert yet or anything like that. We're just going to use the basic Moldvay edition book. Now, to start with this character, with this Warlock class for humans, this Warlock class is going to be using the cleric spell progression, but it is going to have a d4 hit die. So what you're going to write down on your little on my little page here is Warlock is going to be hit dice HD is going to be 1d4. It's going to be a d4. 1d4. Now, the spell progression in XP is going to be used from the clerics as well. So, spell progression in XP, spells and XP. XP is going to be clerics. It's going to be based on the clerics. C-L-E-R-I-C-X. Clerics. Now, to make it a little more fun, at level 1, at level 1, this character is going to get access to leather armor. Is going to get access to, leather armor only. So, leather armor. Let's do weapons first. Let's do the armor and weapons. This will be the next part. Since that the first part was quick, easy, and ready to go, these warlocks are going to be a bit of a weaker, more specialized caster that can stand on the front a little bit with their leather armor and in the like in their swords. So, basically, these creatures that these people make, packs with are going to be able to be trained and aided by their pactees to be able to use these weapons and armor. So, weapons allowed. Let's start with weapons. They're going to be able to use any weapon that swords or any weapon below a d6. Any weapon at a d6, a sword, and then any weapon below a d6 should be okay. Or at a d6. I think personally that should be good. I mean, there's a lot of weapons that fit into the d6 category. A sword fits into the d6 d8 category, and then everything else fits into the other category. There's like anything below a d6, hand axes, maces, crossbow bolts, short swords, spears, warhammers. So what we're going to do, weapons, swords, any at a d6 and below. That way that you can use, they can use a bunch of weapons. They can't use pole arms. They can't use battle axes, nor a two-handed sword. That just makes it easier for everything, for us to keep track of things. Only swords slash any weapon at a D6 and below. So after that, armor. Now, I was tossing back and forth on what armor to allow, as I'd said before, but I am going to only allow leather. Only leather. Now, that being said, spell progression XP is already done. Only armor allowed is leather. Now, to their special abilities. Of course, they get spell casting, but these are warlocks. They get, you know, they get access to blades and the like. They make a pact with a pirate with a deity to get magic. So what we're gonna do is I've of course allowed them to not get anything from their, you know, cat from their pact or their pactee until level 2 to gain their trust. So now what we're gonna do is give them a bit of a first level ability aside from just wielding a sword, because that just makes them a bread and butter fighter with lower hit dice and worse armor. So what we're gonna do is allow the warlock to have one ability at level 1, and I'm gonna take the most common cantrip of all time in 5e and transfer it down to BX, Eldritch Blast. Eldritch Blast is going to be basically a Eldritch Blast as it is. It's not gonna be force damage. It's gonna be variable damage. So basically what that means, it is going to be a D6, it is going to be a D6 damage, and it is going to be their bread and butter. They can cast it at any time, at will, of course. It is going to be their innate ability that they get. That way it doesn't make it too complicated, doesn't make things any, you know, any like, oh shit, they're getting all kinds of cool stuff, might as well play them. No, it doesn't make it too complicated. They play like a cleric a little bit, in the essence of that they get access to, you know, a sort of turn undead ability, and they get access to casting spells. So, with the warlock having this, they get access to Eldritch Blast. So, you know, let me go ahead and write down Eldritch Blast. It's going to be 1d6 damage. And this will go up, let's say, I don't know how often I want it to level up. I wonder what would be how often for it to level up. Maybe every few levels. I think every three levels might be good. So when they reach second, so from first when they reach every, you know, so from first when they reach fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh level, after that it goes up to 3d6 and then so on and so forth. I think that might be a good middle ground, because as it increases in damage, creatures are going to be taking a lot of damage from it. Let me check the cleric turn undead list and how often it goes up and the like. See, this is what you do when you go to it. Let me go check the turn undead list for clerics, because clerics can turn undead as they get. Now, let me go ahead and go to the clerics turn undead. Okay, go to clerics turn undead. It goes up every level. So I don't want that to happen though. I don't want that to happen for clerics, because of course it'll become, for my warlock, like clerics, because it'll make them a little too powerful. So I'll probably say every three levels, when D6, variable. So basically it depends on the person they made a pact with, what kind of damage it is. So fire damage, lightning damage, you know, stuff like that. So 1d6 elemental damage. Elemental, and it'll be every three levels. Every three levels, awesome. Now, you may be wondering, what else do they get? Because that's a very simple class. That's, you know, that's awesome. But what do they get for higher level abilities? Because clerics get higher level abilities. You know, there's also wizards that get higher level abilities. There's classes that get higher level abilities. We don't want to make them too powerful either. We don't want to make them a little too, you know, enticing. We don't want to make a class that's broken. So, to split them apart from everybody else, we are going to give them an Eldritch Invocation as the final thing. But they get these every 5 levels, so they won't get their first invocation until 6th level. And I think that's quite appropriate because you can make the invocations as powerful as you want or as unpowerful as you want. I was thinking every 4 levels, but, you know, I actually might go every 4 levels, since they'll get it at 5th level, and then the next one, you know, they'll get it, that's interesting. That is very interesting. I might make it every 5, though, just to make it, you know, they get their first Eldritch Invocation at, like, 6th level or 7th level, and then the next one at, like, 12th level. I think I might do it every 5, though, just to make it 6th, and then 12th level or 10th level. No, it'll be 6th and then 12th, and then they get their final one at 14th, because... And as you know, in BX, the highest only goes to 14. So they get their first invocation at 6th level. The invocations can make your warlock, they can choose from a list. You can make a list of, you know, a couple invocations you may want. Of course, this is going to be the hard part. You can take invocations from 5e and mark them down to where they work with BX. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take a couple invocations, mark them down into BX, and release them alongside this class for everybody to take and enjoy. But yeah, that's how you make a Warlock BX class. Nothing too out of the ordinary, nothing too complicated, nothing that would set it apart, that make it a not BX class. Now, you don't even have to have the invocations. Getting spells and the like, and then having the Eldritch Blast is still fucking amazing. That is an amazing combination. But this is a warlock we are talking about. They are going to get, you know, at least one invocation. As I said, the one or two invocations. So, as I said, this is the warlock class. We enjoy a good warlock. I just hope that hopefully I can come up with some good invocations for it. There can be a lot you can use. You can take the Agonizing Blast and increase, you know, your damage to your Eldritch Blast. You can take the Armor of Agathist in invocation, you know, and have like a bit of armor, increase your armor class. There's so much you can do with this, and it's not too complicated to make it a not BX class. They get, you know, one extra thing, but of course other classes get extra things as they level up. Per the expert book, there is a lot that classes get as they level up. As characters level up in expert, characters begin gaining abilities as they reach higher levels. Now, as people reach their named class, some characters can create magic items. Clerics can open, you know. As fighters get to higher levels, they're able to strike more times per round. At 3 levels experience, the power of a cleric is extremely limited. As characters advance to higher levels, possibly as high as 36, clerics obtain more spells, greater power, improving their faith to the gods. You know, when clerics reach even 9th level, they may choose to construct a castle. And dwarves, when they attain 9th level, they may build strongholds. Clerics and magic users, they receive several higher level spells. Thieves, you know, gain percentage chance higher, and even abilities to create their own guild and the like. So, each class attains certain benefits at higher levels. Of course, you know, these are suggested abilities as characters rise beyond the levels above and beyond. Now, as I said, these are suggested abilities. You can create your own in BX. That is the beauty of BX. These are suggested abilities. In the base of BX, the class I just made for a warlock, the HD4 spells clerics and XP. In the weapons, swords, and anything below a D6, armor, only leather, and then the Eldritch Blast, that's all you would need. And then they would get access to the wizard spell list. Or you can have your own spell list of created spells, which I will definitely recommend you create your own spells for the warlock, and, you know, sprinkle in a couple of the wizard spell list in there as well. But that is the beauty of that. You can create your own ability, and that's what I'm going to be doing for all my classes, for all of my campaigns, creating my own abilities. And I'm even going to be taking examples from the BX book. Fighters are going to be able to attack more. Strongholds are going to be able to be constructed. You know, clerics are going to be gaining more abilities aside from Turn Undead. And this is the beauty of BX. You don't want to add too much. You know, just one extra ability is enough to make things even more interesting. And that's what you can do with this Warlock class, and that's what I'm going to be adding to everybody's classes. Thieves, clerics, magic users, dwarves, fighters, everybody. So the Eldritch Invocation at 6th level that they get, or at 7th level. In the book, I just opened it up, as you can hear. If you go to the next page on Expert 778, you can see each class obtains certain benefits at higher levels. The DM must decide whether to use these suggested abilities or wait until the D&D Companion Supplement is released, which details levels up to 36 in more detail. Of course, this is just the Expert rules. I only use BX. I don't go above level 14 in my games. So, just using these. You know, 7th level and above, clerics and magic users receive a lot more, you know, abilities. And these, as I said, are just, you know, suggestions that you can do. Fighters at higher reach tower levels but will strike more than once per round. A suggested increase is that for every 5 levels above 15th, the fighter gains another attack that round. No more than 4 attacks per round may be gained. Of course, if you're only going to level 14, you can give, like, the fighter an extra attack at, like, you know, at, like, 6th level. You know, if you're only going to level 14, you know, so they'd have a second attack at 6th level. So that's how you can change things down, because this is just the expert rules part of the, this is, you know, the expert rules. So, as I said, there's things you can do that add to your actual, that'll actually add to your campaign. As I said, this is the cookbook, so there's going to be quite a bit of things that you can, you know, of course, add and subtract and change. Now, that being said, feel free to change what you wish. Feel free to add what you want. Now, I'm going to go ahead and write down the invocations for this. Write down invocation on this Warlock BX class. Let me go ahead and write down invocations. Invocations is going to receive one at 6th level. Or should I do 7th? See, this is what it comes to making classes. A lot of the classes that I just read get things, you know, around 7th level spells. See, this is what, you know, a lot of characters, you know, are able to make spells, you know, and stuff at any time, and 9th level clerics, fighters, and stuff can make towers at 9th level, so I'm probably gonna make it at 6th level, you know. So, invocations, everybody's gonna get something at 6th level, you know, so 6th level, it's going to be, you know, let's do for this one, at 6th, first at 6th. 6th level, 2nd at 12th level. And that's how simple you can make it. That class is on one piece of paper. Literally. That class is on one piece of paper. It's got hit dice, 1d4, spells and XP, same as cleric, weapons, swords, /any at d6 and below, armor, only leather, Eldritch Blast, 1d6 elemental every 3 levels, and then invocations first at 6th and 2nd at 12th. That's how simple that is. That's how easy and bare bones this class is. That's how fun it can be, making a new class. And this is a BX class. This is nothing complicated either. There's no subclasses that give you extra abilities. There's no million different ability scores to add in. There's no skills that you need to worry about. This is as simple as it can get. Subtracting the Eldritch Invocations and only having Eldritch Blasts and the spells, that's literally just a BX class base coming out of the book. And we're only adding one more thing there to it. So, this class will be free online. And I'll have a Google Drive posted in the description of my podcast. And always in the description of my uploads every time. This description will have a link to all of my supplemental materials I'm using and homebrew items I am making for all of my campaigns. This Warlock class will be able to be used in my upcoming homebrew campaign. So, that being said, next time on Dice, we will probably be discussing and making more homebrew classes, more homebrew spells even, and possibly even looking at some of the supplemental material that you can look into and use. That being said, this character class is completely done. A first level, a sixth level invocation that you can get is possibly, if you're looking, you know, at the list on D&D Beyond for 5e for invocations for them. Let's go take one out, for example, and change it up just to you know, have an example here. Okay, so taking from my knowledge here, from the invocations in the Player's Handbook of 5e, you can take Devil Sight. That could be an invocation you have. Now, just Devil Sight, Devil Sight in itself is very, very good. But in 5e, you can have that at lower levels. So Devil Sight, I think, if I remember correctly, you can see normally in darkness. I think non-magical and magical too, out to like 120 feet or something. But to make that more powerful for a 6th level user, you can have them be able to do that, see out to like 60 feet in magical darkness and non-magical darkness, and you can give them the ability to once per 24 hours, once per day, to be able to detect any sort of magic that may be hidden there or, you know, anything like that. So you can give them basically a free detect magic, and you can also, you know, you can be like, oh, you know, mixing in Devil Sight and Eldritch Sight, I think it is, you know, oh, they can see magical auras and the like as well. That could be a good 6th level invocation. Of course, you might need to spice it up a little bit more for it to be, you know, good, to be able to be taken. But I think that's a very good, you know, ability that you could put out for an Eldritch invocation for that level. Of course, you can increase that to like 2 times a day, you know, or 3 times a day, just to make it spicier if you wish to feel that, have that punch. But of course, as they said, they'll have spells at that point, a lot of spells. So, that being said, you could, as I said, make it 2 times a day to, you know, give it a little spice. You can have it, mix it with the Eyes of the Runekeeper one, I think it's what it's called, where you can read all writing and do that. That would be good. Or you can do, something to where you can have, you know, use, you know, Fiendish Vigor. I think that's what it's called, where you can, like, you know, cast False Life on yourself. You can have something to where, you know, their Pact E is like an undead lich or a necromancer. And their Eldritch Invocation is allowing them to once a day or twice a day draw on a pool of life to keep themselves alive. Because in BX you die at 0 hit points, so you could do something like that. It just completely depends. You'd have to spice it up a little bit more because it is a 6th level thing that they get. But you can easily make your own and make it juicy. You can make it really juicy and make it really worth it. Make your own list as well. Of course, another one you can easily bring down is Agonizing Blast. The base feat that I'm going to give, the Eldritch Blast is most likely 120 feet like it is in 5th edition. But you can also, you know, put it to where it is, you know, out to about 300 feet, and it does like and you can add your like charisma bonus to it, you know, because obviously, that is what it does in 5e. Your charisma bonus modifier to the damage it deals on hit. And just to, you know, for all you nerds out there thinking I've skipped something, the prime requisite for this warlock class will be charisma. Because it is, you know, your force of will to fight with this being. So prime requisite, just for all of you nerds out there, is going to be, you know, a charisma of 13. So just limp for me and my sake to write it down. Prime requisite is going to be charisma of 13. To actually play the class, it is, you know, you don't need anything to play the class. It is a human class, but you do need, I will say you will need probably a charisma of at least 9 to play the class, a wisdom of 9 to play the class, because it is, you're making impact with a being, and you need to, of course, be able to meet some requisites to play this class, because you are making a pact with a being that takes things. And of course, you know, there's that to decide between you and the player what it does take from them. So I think charisma and wisdom of 9, just, you know, to are the requirements to play this class as a human. Or you can just keep it simple, you know, just not have a requirement like every other class. So, you know, I'm going to keep it simple and not have a requirement for this class, but just leave it as a prime requisite of charisma 13. But of course, you know, you can have whatever you want. I'm just going to leave the base class as is, and what you decide as the, you know, pact in your, what you've made to, you know, with your actual patron is going to be completely up to you. Now, that is the warlock class for BX. I've gave you example invocations. I've gave you a class. I've gave you everything you may need to have this warlock class. This warlock class will be in the description of my podcast and everywhere else for you guys to look through it and be able to write it down and use it in your BX campaigns. Feel free to reflavor, change up what you may want, of course. That is Dice. This is Dice, Dishes, and Digital. Thank you for listening, and, well, I shall see you guys next time.